Yep.
All right, so this is special agenda of the Public Utilities Commission Nevada. Identified by the commission as it's administrative agenda A05-15. Present to the commission, Rebecca Wagner.
Dave Noble.
I'm Elaine Burtshaw. Item 1A is time for comments from the general public on topics that pertain to items on this agenda. Are there any members of the public with a statement card to say? I have one card. Mr. Bull.
Good morning. For the record, Fred Volz. Reviewing the backgrounds of the two executive directors finalists against the job announcement creates several troubling discrepancies. How can an executive director with no subject matter expertise about the arcane field of utility regulation be expected to, quote, direct, mentor, and motivate division personnel? How can someone with public relations experience or low-level management experience at a summer camp for adults and their families be expected to competently administer complex PUC issues? How will the proposed finalists suddenly master the acronyms and technical terms used in the commission's work? The exiting executive director repeatedly stated to the last legislature that the commission is overworked and understaffed. Who from existing staff will have the time to guide and educate an executive director trainee on all that one needs to know in order to function in the position? How many months of ratepayer-subsidized on-the-job training would be necessary to bring a neophyte up to a satisfactory level of job performance? Neither finalist has either NRS or NAC experience. How would either finalist minimally perform the position's duties without any ability to practically apply laws and rules to commission operations? No one knows except the search committee the number of applicants. Nevertheless, it has come to light that Ms. Taylor and the PUC's general counsel are affiliated with the Northern Nevada Children's Cancer Foundation. Ms. Taylor was executive director, then a board member. Ms. Tanner still serves as an advisory board member per her 2013 commission resume and the foundation's website. Has there been any formal disclosure that they have been professional colleagues to the same entity in the past? Are they personal friends? Did Ms. Tanner promote Ms. Taylor's candidacy or recuse herself from voting for Ms. Taylor's advancement to the finalist category? These are questions worth answering. The chasm between the position's requirements and the two proffered finalists suggests that the search committee re-review any other candidates or that the position be more widely advertised a second time, hopefully generating candidates with germane work and educational backgrounds. To maintain continuity, the commission secretary can be appointed acting director while the search process continues once the current executive director departs in early August. Thank you.
Do we have any cards in Las Vegas?
Yes, we have Angel DeFazio.
Hey, Ms. DeFazio.
Good morning, Commissioners. Angel DeFazio. It's so very obvious, and I feel bad that Ms. Mullen is the false-flagged applicant of these two candidates, HR's version of the sacrificial lamb. Well, neither is really the ED. Out of the two, she has more experience. But she will not be chosen. Let me point out the elephant in the room. Come 2017, we're going to have SB 46 2.0. And Ms. Taylor has views that the PUC thinks will get it passed this time. So they will accept her obvious lack of education and real-world experience, thinking that her testimony at the legislature will get them votes. His core parameters in his hiring practice. Also, Ms. Taylor's direct association with Ms. Tanner presumably had a behind-the-scenes discussion between these two, so that Ms. Tanner will be there to help her through the position that is clearly over her head. So we will have a mentor mentoring the mentor. Ms. Mullen stated she works for a nonprofit in El Dorado County, California. strange, there was no record of this nonprofit either with the IRS or listed as a nonprofit business license in El Dorado. It is listed under the Stanford Alumni Association, which in itself is a for-profit entity. Again, no listing with the IRS. So one has to wonder, how can you be a nonprofit under a for-profit entity? At least she has a business degree from the same place as Ms. Jackson, so we can expect the same performance in that regard. Neither have, from their public resumes, had any legal testimony experience, so just who is going to spoon-feed them on how to interpret the administrative NRS-NAC to represent the PUC? Since the PUC kept claiming they are so overworked, now the seasoned employees are going to be mentors. Ms. Taylor's degree is in journalism, which is beyond any person's comprehension who has worked in the real world to think she's qualified for what is euphemistically referred to as the PUC's CFO. She is more qualified as a PIO, not CFO. But we shall see if Stainer heads prevail, or the pie-in-the-sky hopes of passage of SB 46-2.0 at the expense of this position are decided. Thank you.
All right. Item 2A is approval of the meeting minutes from June 10th, 2015. Are there any questions or comments on item 2A?
I have none.
No questions or comments. I move we approve the June 10th, 2015 administrative agenda A04-15 meeting minutes.
Second?
Concur.
Okay. Item 3A is the resume of review of the resumes of finalists Ms. Taylor and Ms. Nolan. Ms. Jackson?
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. The closed session for this item has been withdrawn. We present to you two candidates for the position of the Executive Director. They are Ms. Kathleen Taylor and Ms. Stephanie Mullen. Their names are listed on the agenda in random order. They are not ranked. You received a copy of each of their resumes yesterday morning as part of your briefing materials for this agenda meeting. Both candidates are present today, and they are available for questions from the Commission. If you would like to ask any questions based upon their resumes, please ensure that you ask the same question of each candidate. We will bring each candidate into the hearing room individually, beginning with Ms. Taylor. Once the Commission is finished with questions of Ms. Taylor, she will be escorted out of the hearing room and Ms. Mullen will be brought in. Once you have finished with questions of Ms. Mullen will be escorted out of the hearing room, and at that time, you may openly discuss the candidates with one another. Commission action to appoint the Executive Director will be handled in item 3B. Neither candidate will be present, and will be advised by me as to the Commission's decision after the agenda meeting. Do you have any questions about the process?
No.
With that, if I could ask Ms. Williamson to bring in Ms. Taylor, please.
Can I make one point of clarification on the asking the same question? Obviously, if you're asking something particular to one person's experience, it wouldn't make sense to ask the same question to the other person. But if you're asking a general question as far as, you know, why...
Questions off the resume, general...
Questions
like,
you want to ask about...
Yeah.
You want to ask about. Thank you.
Morning.
We should probably introduce ourselves. I'm Rebecca Meyer, I'm one of the commissioners.
Elena Bartshaw, one of the commissioners.
Chairman.
And Dave Noble.
Thank you for joining us today, accepting our invitation to interview for the position of Deputy Director. As I'm sure you're aware, this is an extremely important position for the Commission. The Executive Director serves as the administrative head of the agency and is responsible for the day-to-day administrative operations so that the three commissioners are able to focus on their obligation to address the substantive issues associated with our obligation to regulate public utilities. So I thought we'd just go ahead and move to the questions, and I thought maybe instead of me asking all my questions, I thought we'd just kind of alternate our questions.
Okay. And just given my short-term nature, I really want you and Dave to, and I'm happy to ask questions to kind of bring out any discussion, but I feel kind of weird, you know, being only like 70 days left, but especially these agendas. So I just wanted to throw that out there to you guys, but I'm happy to ask questions, so maybe you guys start.
Let me ask you a question. Please describe your qualifications and why you think you are the best candidate for the position.
Well, as my resume states, I've been 20 years of public relations management and business and public policy experience. I have been on all three sides of an agency like this, on the commission side as a previous planning commissioner, regional planning commissioner. I'm also the main executive director of an organization, and I've supported staff in an organization like this to the Department of Transportation and other clients.
That was sort of my first question, so that was out. Another question, how do you manage stress in the workplace?
I run a lot. actually, I think stress is good in the workplace because it shows that you're concerned about what you're doing and you care. I have a tendency to focus more on myself and look at the problem and maybe do a little bit more research as long as I feel comfortable with what's in front of me and I'm knowledgeable of it. That reduces the stress. I work well with my teammates and my colleagues and rely on them sometimes to help me through things. And sometimes you just have to breathe a little bit.
Okay. Why don't you describe for us what your management style is?
I would say my management style is to hire the best people and let them do their job. That being said, my job, my responsibility in this position would be to make sure that we're supporting the folks, they have the resources and the training that they need, and to provide them the guidance and leadership, and making sure that they have everything they need to do the job.
What are your expectations of this position?
That's an interesting question. This organization is very appealing to me because it, from the outside looking in, and the research I've done, it's run very well. It's done very well in the last 5 to 10 years. I expect there to be some significant change with the new commissioners, some of the political changes that we will see in the next few years. But I expect to fulfill the mission and the roles of the Public Utilities Commission and the people that we serve.
How do you deal with difficult people? If you want to give an example, and a high level, from a high level, no names right there.
Right. Well, I've been in several different difficult positions, working with the public on very controversial public infrastructure projects. Working on a planning commission with 6 other commissioners with very different ideas. And what has gotten me through in the past, which I think is very important, is respect of other folks, listening to what's being said, and not just talking. And then again, keeping your eye on the vision and the mission of what's at hand to accomplish those goals. And I've been through several partnering sessions. Sometimes it needs to be escalated to a different level. I've gotten to that point maybe 1 or 2 times in my whole entire career.
That was my question. Except I was going to characterize it, you know,
egomaniac commissioners. Not us. Of course. So this kind of ties back to the chairman's first question, but based on your understanding of the position, what are the attributes and skill sets that you have that you think will be most useful that you bring to this position?
I would say I am fair. I am knowledgeable. I gain the respect of my colleagues and the people around me. I like to multitask. I'm good at that. I do respect other people. I'm interested in what this agency does and the success of this agency. I've managed budgets, people, organizations, administrative operations for major infrastructure projects like the Southern Division to smaller organizations and nonprofit organizations.
Have you had experience in managing two separate office locations? And if so, start with.
Actually, in my last position at ACCA, I was in a national position, so I worked from several different offices, and when I overtook a project on that national level, sometimes there was up to three or four different offices that I would be responsible for managing the marketing teams in, and that was an extremely large organization, so we used a lot of telecommunications and different kind of technology, Skyping and that kind of stuff, but there was always a time when you had to have a face-to-face meeting too. So it's a combination of both and constant communication, just making sure that everybody's on the same page, over communicating, I would say.
That was a really good question. Because I think it's challenging having two offices, so I think I'm trying to think what other questions. Do you have questions for us about what our expectations are?
I shouldn't load the question.
Do you have questions for us?
I guess I would just like to understand what your expectations are of your new executive director. This is, as I understand it, the second executive director who will be coming into this organization. Are there things that you see that you would like to enhance or
getting fixed the ABAC, the air conditioner?
I really like it.
I think
I'll try.
Ms. Jackson has been able to do it for the 10 years I've been complaining about it. I think communication with commissioners and just being patient and understanding is probably, you know, we all have different issues at different times, but the executive director is the kind of the, I don't want to use this term, but like mother hen of the agency. You know, Crystal's always made sure everything is okay. And you have to constantly communicate. So, and learning an effective communication, particularly remotely, I think that's, you know, that would be my expectation for the next 70 days.
Sorry, I keep rubbing it in. 70 days is pretty important.
I guess I would probably echo what Rebecca said. Look, Kristen was always able to just kind of problem solve with a very common sense approach that I think that has showed the agency pretty well. She has kind of, she has, and her duty is in primary administrative, and I think that's one of the, I think that's one of the strengths of the executive director position, is she really focuses on the administrative stuff. And kind of make sure that things are running properly. I think where you've got one agency in the state of Nevada, I remember our general counsel telling me before Lina that when she worked in the Attorney General's office, it took like 3 or 4 months to get reimbursement from the travel expenses. So, I mean, that's just kind of a
micro
function. I think that things are just always kind of like on time, getting done. And I think that's what's important to me, is that we've got things that are getting done on a time basis.
I don't have anything to add at this point.
Okay.
I just have one more question, though. You talked about in your resume about the inbox experience you had. Can you kind of describe for me what you did in that experience?
Sure. When I was 17, I started at the Nevada Department of Transportation as a construction aide, and I moved up through the different divisions in planning, which was a lot of corridor studies and public information meetings and more general transportation projects, not actually projects yet, but more of the study. And I moved into the design side of things, where we actually started designing the project, and I worked with safety engineering and roadway design. And I worked there over the 7 years, started in their engineering training program, and decided that what I really enjoyed about my job was the public involvement in the public process in those projects, not necessarily the engineering aspect. So that was when NDOT was first coming in before the bypass. We were very involved in the legislature and trying to get that through. And that was one of my main responsibilities as I sort of moved out of that position, was helping, I guess, create positive feedback for that project and moving it through the legislature and with the community meetings. That I also budgeted, I worked with the designer to manage the budget of multi-million-dollar projects through estimates and work on the design side of things through the engineering, which is really the most fun. There are several different divisions of different directors.
One last question for me. Tell me about your budgeting experience that you've had.
Again, it started probably in that when we were responsible for coming within 7% of engineers' estimates. When an engineer would come with an estimate, we have to go through and track and make sure that all the quantities and the estimates matched using several different funding sources, whether it was federal, state, matching funds, and then allocating those funds. Moving into, I would say, the executive director position at Angel Kids Foundation, I came from a budget of negative and was responsible for making sure that that budget ran in a positive, because if we didn't get our financing through federal grants, state and local grants, fundraisers, and donations, then we wouldn't be able to help the people that we had. And then there was a very strict process for managing those funds and reporting those funds and what they could be used for. Specifically when you were filling out your annual report, you can only use certain dollars for certain things, whether they're marketing, operational, client services. And then moving into more recent projects, I managed multi-million dollar infrastructure projects on the marketing side and community outreach side through the procurement of that. So that's more in-house funds. And then working with our clients, there are a lot of public funds that you have to be able to document, and again, you can do certain things with them and you can't. So.
Okay, great. Thank you. My questions.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ourselves. I'm Rebecca Weiner, Commissioner of Burton Shaw.
I'm Dave Noble.
So, good morning, and thank you for joining us today and accepting our invitation to interview for the position of Executive Director. As I'm sure you're aware, this is an extremely important position for the Commission, and Executive Director serves as the administrative head of the agency and is responsible for the day-to-day administrative operations, so that the three commissioners are able to focus on their obligations to address the substantive issues associated with the PSC's regulation of of situation of faith. That said, we thought we'd just kind of alternate our questions.
Okay.
And I started off last time, so let me ask this question. Please describe your qualifications and why you think you are the best candidate for the position.
Okay. Well, I have over 15 years working in human resources in a county in very diverse industries. During that time, over the last 15 years, I've really been able to develop my communication skills and my leadership skills. I believe that those experiences that I have helped shape me and develop me into who I am today, and I think that is why I am an ideal candidate for this position.
How do you manage stress in the workplace?
I think that I am an emotional leader. I talked about this, by the way, in my interview. I like to lead by example, and when things get stressful, I maintain a calm and cool attitude. And I think that that instills confidence in my staff and those that I'm working around. So that's how I lead, and that's how I handle stress. Oftentimes it may need to walk outside and get a breath of fresh air and take a step back, and then tackle the situation at hand.
I'm having trouble reading my notes here. Can you describe your management style?
My management, just as I touched on a second ago, is very hands-on. In my position as administrative manager at Stanford Cedar Keynote and Conference Center, when I started, I was jumping in and filling big shoes. The previous administrative manager had been there for 15 years, and so I felt that in order to do my job well, I would really need to understand the roles of everyone that I'd be working with and who would be reporting to me. So I started on a Saturday cleaning bathrooms, making beds with housekeeping staff. I worked in the kitchen. I did food orders. So I, again, really try to lead by example, and I think that it's very important to get a really good understanding of what your coworkers and employees are up against on a day-to-day basis, and then I'm going from there.
What are your expectations of this position?
I expect this to be a challenging position. I think this is going to be a very rewarding position for me. I think that it's going to really challenge the skills that I have and build upon them. I think that it's going to push me and excite me every single day because of the new experiences that I will have.
How do you deal with difficult people? And you can give an example, but if you do, just keep it high level, no names.
Sure. I don't necessarily think that there are difficult people as much as different personalities and diverse personalities. I think that it's important to understand where they're coming from and try to relate as best as possible, put myself in their shoes as best as I can, and then tackle the situation. And as you're able to under the situation, I think that if you're looking ahead at what the common goal is, you can meet that as long as there is open communication and understanding.
So based on your understanding of this position, what specific attributes and skill sets that do you have that you would bring that you think would be useful for the position?
I think my communication skills will be very helpful in this role. My budgeting skills and my analytical eye when looking at budgets, I think will be very important to this role. Another set of eyes is good, and I know Crystal has been in this role for a very long time, has done a fantastic job, and I understand that there are issues to fill. But I believe that my experience and those companies I've worked for in the past have created a broad list of skills that I've worked for people.
Do you have experience in managing chief of rail?
I have, yes, I have. I'm currently as administrative manager for Stanford Camp. We have the outside Stanford Chalet located in Tahoe City, which is a 14-bedroom bed and breakfast. Also, while working as the operations director for Hashimoto Housing, I oversaw three other locations. 2 years ago, we had 150, about 300 properties. We had 10 properties in Dallas and 10 properties in Las Vegas, I'm sorry, Austin. And so I oversaw the teams in all of those locations and was able to communicate effectively to the job them.
So, do you have questions for us?
I don't have any questions for you at this time. I wanted to thank you for this opportunity and to be here in front of all of you.
Let me ask you one question as well. You referred to your budgeting experience in one of the questions. So would you kind of detail your budgeting experience?
Yes. So I work directly with our COO at Stanford Camp and with the Alumni Association at Stanford University. The process that my director basically handles, or his line I handle, all of our insurance for camp property liability, what that's called. I handle all of our benefits, the salary line items. In addition, I handle all of our capital projects on an annual basis. So I'm responsible for those areas solely, and then I work hand in hand with Dave. Upon getting the job and learning, trying to understand the insurance side of the company, I was doing a little research and digging and trying to gain more understanding. And in doing so, we ended up switching insurance companies from the broker that we used to a new broker and saved $250,000 and have consistently saved that amount since annually. And so I just look at it with a fresh eyes. Oftentimes Dave will have me review his items and time hold and be able to work finance them around in such a way to meet our goals for the company.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you guys can now go ahead and discuss the two candidates, and then when you're ready, move on to 3D for appointment.
I thought they were both great. I was happy to hear they have the kind of budget experience they described. I think the budget issues are significant in this position. They seem to have quite a bit of experience with the personnel issues, which is we've never done this before, so.
Yeah, I think they both come in with a lot of experience in dealing with different entities. Overall, I think they're fairly close. Kathleen may have a little bit more just experience from a time perspective, but I think Stephanie is also, given her time, has made the most of it. I think either one of them would do very well struggling with which one to go with, but I have put it out there, my recommendation would be Stephanie Moore.
Well, I don't really want to weigh in, but just trying to offer a perspective of watching this position evolve over time. I think they both bring great attributes, and I just based on this and their resumes, I think they can come in and be able to start filling the shoes, those giant shoes of sandals of Ms. Jackson. I don't think you guys can go wrong either way, but I still feel strongly that it needs to be you guys on board, and I don't really want to break a tie, but I'm the one deferring and have no desire to dissent. I'm like a utility agenda, so I'll defer and hear what you have to say, Chairman.
Well, I agree with you. I think we would be fine to get along. And I actually, one of the things I always thought was a strength at Privilege Jackson was that she wasn't getting involved more effective. There's a lot to do with the history and stuff. I actually don't want an executive director who's going to be telling Anne-Marie how to do a job. Because Anne-Marie is the CRO, the executive director is basically running the administrative portions of the agency. And so to me, that's a strength. I'm not sure what the final executive director, but he has more experience than Anne-Marie. So I think that those separations and that understanding, I think, is one of the strengths of the agency. I agree with Rebecca, and I think that it needs to be a coordinated effort in agreement on this. So I will support Commissioner Donald's decision, or his recommendation.
And of course, I concur. I think they both have strengths and attributes that would do great. I think Ms. Holman, I think she'll have a good fit, and if you guys are on board with that, I don't think we go wrong either way. And you better be nice to them.
I can't imagine coming into this job right now, so. And I will contact each one of them after the agenda and advise them of their position.
Do we need to do 3B for formal action?
Yes. Okay. So let's go ahead and move to 3B. And I would move that we appoint Stephanie Mullen as the next executive director.
Just as you can see, and if Ms. Mullen does not accept, you extend the offer to I don't want to have to come back and do this again.
No, that's excellent point. So let me amend the motion. I would move to appoint Stephanie Mullen as executive director, and if she does not accept the position, then we offer to get this position to Ms. Taylor.
Second.
Okay, item 3C, reports from commission representatives of National State or Regional Associations and Organizations or Neighbor Committee or Secondary Member Association and Activities.
Thank you, Chairman. The written briefings have been included as part of your briefing material packet. I believe we also have a couple of verbal briefings. Mr. Lamoho, I believe, and also Ms. Williamson. So if you guys want to come up and give you a verbal briefing.
Okay. During the reporting period, I attended the NAREC winter meetings in February. At that time, Chair Burton Shaw became the chair of the Water Committee, and I became the chair of the staff committee on water. So I've been assisting with putting together the agendas of the Water Committee. We've been trying to focus on broad national issues, but bring a little bit more focus to Western issues as well, especially drought issues. So there's been some good discussion on that, as well as water conservation issues, redesign issues. I have also attended the gas pipeline safety subcommittee meetings. A lot of discussion on the reauthorization of the Pipeline Safety Act and the state's priorities in that process.
And I'm on the NAREC Natural Gas Subcommittee. We do weekly or bi-weekly conference calls to kind of catch up what's going on in the gas world. 111D, the Clean Power Plan, is still high on everyone's agenda. We actually just got the LNG quarterly wrap-up earlier this month, and the one interesting story I wanted to share with you guys is that EPA came out with a report, EPA's assessment of the potential impacts of fracturing for oil and gas and drinking water resources. EPA did not find any evidence that fracking mechanisms have led to widespread systemic impacts on drinking water resources in the United States. So, it's an easier.
And that's, I can circulate the LNG wrap-up if you guys want. Otherwise, it's mostly pricing issues worldwide, with natural gas prices are looking like worldwide. So, unless there are questions before I have to report from that subcommittee.
And natural gas prices look like worldwide.
Low. So I have actual numbers in here if you have interest so far in this too.
Okay.
Sounds good. Any questions? Okay. And I believe that concludes the briefings from GAAP.
Western Conference Public Service Commissioners, you're aware Nevada will be hosting it next May. So to the extent that you have ideas for panels or want to chair a panel, please let me know.
Oh, I have ideas.
Oh, I know.
And I don't really have an update because I have really disassociated with, you know, traveling for Nehru. So I don't have much to add. I think Commissioner Noble, you've taken over my position on the electricity committee and the
subcommittee on
nuclear issues. Ms. Cuneo covers Regis. So I don't really have anything to add, but I will reach out to those of you who have talked to me about finding out what these roles are so that you can have someone follow along.
Can you, before you leave, provide a cheat sheet?
I will.
A final summary
of
where things are at?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really have anything to add from what Don provided, other than thank goodness for Don, because he helped me a lot to put those panels together. We actually had a drought panel where a gentleman from the Western Governors Association came to talk about some general issues of this across the world, and it was very informative. And I did not realize for doing water for years, I had no idea that California does not regulate groundwater. Just astonishes me. One more way I think about is paying attention to things, but I think they're really important. So, but it's been an interesting discussion point so throughout.
And we will continue to
be. Okay, so let's go ahead and move to item 2B.
Thank you, Chairman. The last item I have forever. is the administrative findings report by docket as of June 30th, 2015, and it's included in your briefing materials and available for your questions.
I have one comment. I know these are available at any time if we wanted to look at them, but I don't know if it's really necessary to have these on the administrative agenda, so I'll probably be recommending the executive director bring it up at the next administrative agenda to eliminate this item on a going forward basis. But then we can discuss it at that point.
Okay.
All right. And item 3E.
Nothing further, Chairman.
All righty. Item 4A is Michael Cox Public Comment. So I do have one pause for Mr. Gold.
For the record, again, Fred Volz. NRS 353C.220 parameters deserve attention. This statute designates the state controller as a collection agent for state agencies. It requires state agencies to assign debts that are more than 60 days past due to the state controller under Section 3. Some of these past due fines at the PUC have been left assessed for almost 2 years instead of the 60-day requirement. Many more have been ignored for months past the deadline. So the first issue is consistently forwarding the uncollected fines not later than 60 days after the debt becomes past due. The second and larger issue, what steps are PUC employees taking to collect the debt rather than pass the problem along to another state agency? Sending one or two letters to hardcore deadbeats will not yield results. The same statute in Section 5A allows an agency to waive assignment to the state controller if the agency has the resources to engage in its own debt collection efforts. With almost $3 million of reserves, the PUC indisputably has the resources to hire a collection agency and recover the money for the state's general fund. The longer the delay in implementing serious collection efforts means a materially lower probability that collection efforts will be successful. leads to the question, why isn't the PUC administration making a concerted good faith effort to timely collect monies owed the state treasury before frequently passing the problem accounts on to the state controller's office far beyond the statutory time frame? And on the second unrelated administrative subject, why are filings for individual dockets not consistently listed in ascending or descending date order on the PUC's website? This lack of orderly information presentation wastes time for everybody who is using the information. Thank you.
Anyone in Las Vegas?
Angel
DeFazio. Okay, Ms. DeFazio.
Angel
DeFazio,
for the record. When will we know if the conviction was accepted by Ms. Mullen? I got to give you credit, Commissioner, if you chose the non-connected person, apparently saying her head's prevailed. Is the PUC paying for her living expenses or temporary housing? Given Ms. Jackson's last day is the 14th and Ms. Mullen should, as a professional courtesy, give a 2-week notice, if given today, we'll give her 7 business days to be acclimated. Who is going to help her slide into this position when Ms. Jackson leaves? Thank you.
Welcome.